I'm going to ask you to do something for me today that is extremely important, to call your U.S. senator and your U.S. congressman to save the lives of men and women that risk their lives for our men and women in uniform in Afghanistan. I need you to share this podcast with your family and friends as well, because there are 70,000+ lives that are at risk right now. Translators and their families that are on kill lists of the Taliban. The Taliban is trying to find these individuals that helped the U.S. military for the last 20 years. Right now, the U.S. needs to evacuate immediately the Afghan translators that helped the U.S. military for the last 20 years. We're talking about 70,000+ translators that need to be evacuated, and the Biden administration left them behind to be slaughtered by the Taliban. We promised these translators that if they worked with America, that we would give them safety, that we would evacuate them and their families so that they wouldn't be massacred in the streets by the Taliban. We swore to them that they were going to be a part of America and that we were never going to leave them behind. And this administration did exactly that. Now, even George Bush 43 is warning what's going to happen. He says it, quote, makes him sad what is happening right now in Afghanistan. We're going to have more about that coming up in just a moment. But before we get to that, we have another problem that's happening right now, and that is the Biden administration does not want any Cubans coming to America, telling Cubans, stay in your country. Maybe you get killed. Maybe you get beaten. Maybe you get thrown in prison. Maybe you disappear. But do not make that sea voyage to the U.S. You will not be able to enter the United States of America. This coming from the same administration that has an open border policy on the southern border. Now, why is it that this administration seems to be backing the Castro regime? Why is it that this administration is telling people that genuinely have a reason to fear for their lives, that genuinely need to seek asylum in the U.S. based on what can happen to them and their family to not come to America? Why is it that they are supporting a communist regime while the people are trying to rise up against that regime? Why are they basically being an ally to the Castro family? Well, take a listen to what the Biden administration had to say. The same Biden administration is in favor of an open border. The same Biden administration says, come to America, cross that border, and we'll give you a hotel room, we'll give you food, we'll give you water, we'll give you whatever you need. Hell, we'll give you stimulus checks if you come to America. But they don't want real communists coming from Cuba, people that could come to America and could warn other Americans. Don't do it. I've lived under this type of regime. Don't become a communist nation. That is exactly why they're making it clear that you're not welcome in America from Cuba. We're not going to protect you or save you. Take a listen.
Allow me to be clear. If you take to the sea, you will not come to the United States. The time is never right to attempt migration by sea. To those who risk their lives doing so, this risk is not worth taking. Again, I repeat, do not risk your life attempting to enter the United States illegally. You will not come to the United States.
Hold on a second. What happens when you risk your life with the coyotes coming across the southern border? We let you in. When you risk your life and you can't swim coming across the Rio Grande, what happens? We let you in. So what changed? To make things even worse, you want to know what's happening? Joe Biden has actually lifted sanctions on Venezuela, now giving Cuba a lifeline. That's right. This happened and the media is not covering it. So right now, when I tell you this, do me a favor. Share this broadcast with your family and friends. Share the link on social media, anywhere you're on social media, because this is what the U.S. Department of Treasury actually did on Monday that no one in the media is talking about. This is supporting communist Cuba and their dictators. The U.S. Department of Treasury randomly on Monday lifted sanctions on the export of gas to socialist Venezuela, a boom to the dictatorship in Cuba. That's right. It will help Cuba, giving them a lifeline. This is a decision they made to try to help the communist government in Cuba. Now, communist Cuba, struggling to suppress mounting opposition and calls for the regime's total obliteration. The U.S. government, under the leadership of Joe Biden, gave them a lifeline. The U.S. Office of Foreign Assets Controls, also known as OFAC, issued a general license number 40 permitting all transactions and activities related to the exportation or re-exportation, directly or indirectly, of liquefied petroleum gas to Venezuela, as well as the socialist regime's state-owned affiliates, specifically rescinding restrictions that then-President Donald Trump imposed via three executive orders in 2018 and 19. The license remains valid through July the 10th of 2022 next year. Now, the PDVSA is a state-owned company managing the nation's and some of the world's largest oil reserves in Venezuela. It fell under socialist control in 1998 when Hugo Chavez nationalized the entity. With socialist cronies in charge, Venezuela's oil production began to decline at a rapid rate, falling to levels not seen since 1947 by mid-2020. Despite abundant supply, the mismanagement is so great the nation routinely experiences severe gasoline shortages in their own country. OFAC left intact sanctions on individual Venezuelan government officials, many of whom allegedly maintain ties with drug cartels, human trafficking organizations, or terrorist cells, and close ties, you guessed it, to Cuba. The first vice president of the United Socialist Party of Venezuela, as well as Maduro's second command, have for years been identified as a major figure in the international drug trade, with informants naming him as the leader of the Cartel de los Soles. The group run out of Venezuelan military operates on international cocaine ring. Formerly the richest nation in Latin America, following the decline of previously the richest nation, Cuba, under communism, due to its vast oil reserves, years of socialist mismanagement had driven the Venezuelan economy into the ground. Inflation, in particular, has destroyed citizens' personal wealth and forced the majority of Venezuelans to basically beg for any type of food and water. A 2020 study revealed the majority of transactions in Venezuela occurred using the U.S. dollar as the medium, not the local currency of Venezuela. The economy has deteriorated to the extent that citizens have resorted to literally going through dumpsters to avoid starvation. In lieu of stable healthcare infrastructure, Venezuela has had to improvise means of tending to their sick and injured. One viral video depicting locals using the back of a garage truck as an ambulance. Insert Cuba. Now that we've lifted these sanctions, Cuba and the Cuban communist agents are now going to be able to use their resources to help Venezuela with their oil. This is a lifeline. Now, as you know, starting last week, thousands of Cubans took to the street of at least 20 cities demanding an end to communism on the island, as protesters shouted down with communism and blank Diaz-Canel, referencing the nation's puppet president, whom Raul Castro appointed to be the regime's public face, as he's now 90-plus years old. So what's happened since then? They're calling it Bloody Monday in Cuba, as hundreds are likely missing. Police use real bullets to fire into the crowds of protesters, killing countless. And a near nationwide internet blackout has severely limited the ability of protesters to share updates and images from Cuba. But the little that has trickled out suggests the island has experienced another wave of thousand-strong protests on Monday that has triggered severe communist repression. Thousands of Cubans took to the streets of nearly every major city in the country, peacefully assembling to demand an end to communism. And that's when the communist regime came out to kill them. So what are we saying to them? We're not saying rise up. We're not saying we stand with the people of Cuba. No, instead, what we're doing is this administration's helping Cuba and telling you, do not get on a boat and do not try to come to America, because if you do, you will be sent home. I want you to imagine if this type of message that this administration is sending about what's going on in Cuba was actually said about the southern border, how different the anarchy and chaos at the southern border would be. how different it would be if we would have a closed border instead of an open border. But again, the Department of Homeland Security secretary threatening Cuban refugees, saying, do not attempt to come to the U.S. illegally. What do you think they're going to do? Go through their country and say, hey, I'm being persecuted. My family members are being killed in the streets. Hey, can I get asylum in America? You think that's going to work out for them? They don't want people coming in from Cuba because they actually have lived under communism. They know how god-awful it is. And they'll warn other Americans, do not ever vote for this. You don't want it. That's why they don't want these Cuban individuals in America. And that's the only reason why the Department of Homeland Security comes out threatening Cubans who are being threatened by the Castro regime.
Allow me to be clear. If you take to the sea, you will not come to the United States. The time is never right to attempt migration by sea. To those who risk their lives doing so, this risk is not worth taking. Again, I repeat, do not risk your life attempting to enter the United States illegally. You will not come to the United States.
There it is. That's how much of a threat real communism is to what this regime is trying to do, the Biden regime. And we are backing, supporting, and advocating for a communist regime. That is what they're doing right here, period, plain and simple. That's what they're advocating for, period. There's only one reason why they are advocating for this. Only one. They want communism in America. That's what they want. They need it desperately. And if you allow Cubans to come in and you allow Cubans to warn people, you allow Cubans to tell the real story of what happens. I mean, you look at the egregious, inhumane actions of this administration over the last 48 hours. You leave 70 plus thousand to die, to be taken out in the streets, to be murdered, children to be murdered and tortured. Don't forget that. In Afghanistan, we left the translators and their families behind to be massacred by the Taliban. The soldiers that we trained have been massacred by the Taliban in live video because we left. You have a president in Donald Trump that said this is a bad decision. You have another president who has also said this is a bad decision. George Bush saying it makes him sad because he knows that innocent people are being axed right now as we speak, being hunted down in Afghanistan because we left. All because of an arbitrary BS date that was set by Joe Biden's regime, and the same thing that we're seeing in Cuba right now. Come across the southern border, hell, we'll basically help you. We'll give you a hotel, we'll give you food, we'll give you water, we'll give you stimulus checks because you're the right type of person. We'll vote for socialism. But real hardcore socialists, people under real hardcore socialist regimes, nope, we don't want you here. You're coming from Cuba, you'll warn people how crappy it is, how inhumane it is. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to come in here. We're not going to allow you to come in here. Nope, sorry. You can't come in here. That we will not allow. You are not allowed to be here. That is something that is too great of a threat to our regime and what we're trying to build, which is a communist socialist nation. Look at just as what's happening there. Havana has effectively run Venezuela for years. A lot of people don't realize that. And we lift sanctions on Venezuela on Monday randomly. No one in the media is talking about this. Cuba, the regime's de facto colonial overlord, will now secure much-needed economic windfall amid its struggle to contain both the Chinese coronavirus and the wave of democratic protests. So we help them out and give them a lifeline. The easing of these economic restrictions against Caracas will likely provide a massive economic boost to the socialist dictatorship under Maduro, which has maintained power illegally through the military since the expiration of his last legitimate term in 2019. And by extension, Cuba. They're in charge, basically. Havana has effectively run in Venezuela for years. Maduro defectors and foreign relations experts have reported that the country relies heavily on nearly 100,000 Cuban communist agents to manage the national revolution since at least 2010. Reports further indicate that Cuba uses its colony as a staging ground for its drug trafficking operations and as a meeting place for its allied terrorist groups like the Iranian-backed Hezbollah organization. So there you have it. Let's lift some financial sanctions on Venezuela, giving Cuba a lifeline so that they can keep their country under their rule. Have you heard the administration come out and demand that the internet be turned back on? No. You got a near nationwide internet blackout? Nothing from this country? Nothing from our leadership? One man that understands a lot of this spoke out about it. Senator Marco Rubio, about the political protest in Cuba. Listen to how enraged he is.
You can open up all you want. We can pass a bill here that says open to Cuba, 100% open. You can do whatever you want, full free trade. You can do whatever you want. At the end of the day, the Cuban regime will control that opening. It's not just what we want to do. It's what they want to do. You want to do tourism? We tried that in 2015 when the Obama changes. And you know what they did? They said, thank you. We love the fact you're coming here as tourism. Guess what? All the tourist sites are owned by a holding company named Gaesa, controlled by the Cuban military. So everything comes through our hands. You want to send them food? That's great. Guess who gets it? Alimport, which is a government, military-owned agriculture company. You can't sell it to a small grocery store in Cuba or even a food wholesaler. It goes to the Cuban government. You want to send money? They take it. You know why? Because socialism is about control. And all of these things, tourism, food, money, medicine, it's all about control. You want humanitarian aid? Let's get Red Cross. Any of these vetted NGOs in the world should be allowed to go into Cuba. They won't allow it. A, because it's embarrassing to them. They have a world-class healthcare system. Why do they need humanitarian aid? But B, because they want to control it.
They want to control it. He's absolutely right. This is the reality of the situation in Cuba. They control everything. We tried to open it up, change everything of Obama. They didn't want any of it because they are hardcore socialists.
In their hands, the government, the regime, guess who gets the vaccines? The people who behave. First the regime elites, then the people who behave. If you're not behaving, if you're not going along with what they want you to do, you don't get a vaccine. They will use any opening as a tool, as a weapon against their people, because that's what socialism does. That's what these Marxists do in Cuba. They will use anything as a weapon against the people of Cuba. What can we do is what people want to know. Number one, I hope that we will all be clear about whose side we're on. You don't have to even agree with anything I've said. What you should agree with is that people everywhere in the world, including 90 miles from our shore, should be allowed to go into the street, peacefully march, call for an end to dictatorship, and not have their head cracked open. By the way, no one in Cuba has guns except the military. So why are these repressive forces walking around with these rifles and people getting shot? They're shooting people that literally are unarmed. Should be able to do that, and we should be clear. We should be clear in our language. We don't just condemn this tyranny. We condemn this communist, this Marxist, this socialist tyranny. Call it for what it is.
But this administration won't do it. And that's because they can't call out what they're actually trying to create in the United States of America. That's why you threaten the people that are being persecuted. That's why you threaten the people that are being murdered. Think about what's happening right now, not just in Cuba, but what we're allowing to happen to those that helped save American lives in Afghanistan. We promise the people in Afghanistan, those translators that helped our soldiers for 20 years, that we would protect them. We promise that in America that if you were under threat of your nation, that we allow you to have asylum in the United States of America, not just from Afghanistan, but also from places like Cuba. And guess what happened? We've let now both countries down because it doesn't fit our narrative right now. I'll say it again. You better call your congressmen and senators. We're going to have Marsha Blackburn on in just a second to talk about this. But it's time for us to stand up for the people in Afghanistan, and it's also time for us to stand up for the people in Cuba. We better do it, because if we don't, who would ever trust America again? Would you ever stand with America in a war on terror again if you know that that your family members or your friends that helped us the last time, we allowed you to be drug out in the streets and beheaded? Because that's what the Taliban will do. U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn is with us now. Senator, I appreciate you coming on.
I know you probably were, about like me, pretty stunned to hear our secretary say that when he has been down there waving people across the southern border with a y'all come on in sign, and for him to push back on the Cuban refugees who are fighting for their lives and say, do not come. It really was quite astounding. I mean, Border Patrol tell us they've had people from 160 different countries come across that border since Joe Biden was sworn in as president. And then you hear this so-called Homeland Security Secretary who does not believe in secure borders out there saying that yesterday.
You know, one of the things that I think was so shocking about this statement is it almost seemed like it was an endorsement of the communist regime within Cuba. Like the official Biden policy is to back this communist government. That's how I took it, because otherwise you would be telling people that are actually fearing for their lives, which is one of the reasons that Democrats say our open border is okay, because there's some of you fearing for their lives when they come back, if they go back to their host country. That's what they say. I'm not putting words in their mouth. If there's anybody now that genuinely is fearful for their lives, you would argue it's those standing up for freedom in Cuba. We have people that are disappearing. We have children on that have been attacked. We have seen them be attacked in the last 48 hours. Even a 13-year-old was abused by the police. And we are seeing people that are now disappearing and family members that don't know if they're even alive anymore because they are standing up to the government. That is the part about this human rights abuse that I'm shocked from this White House.
Well, and the human rights abuses just continue. Look at what is happening in Afghanistan to Afghanistan troops that supported the U.S. or worked with the U.S. There's footage out now of that. Look at what is happening to the Uyghurs, to the Hong Kong freedom fighters, the Tibetans, the Inner Mongolians, and the Chinese Communist Party. They're not being held to account to it. And now we see Cuba, and you've got people like AOC and Bernie and the Squad. And they're out here. They're all part of the Democratic Socialist of America. They don't have a word to say about the Cuban people who are fighting for their freedom and fighting to stay alive and trying to get rid of a dictatorship. So it leaves you to believe that they must be supportive of the Cuban government, who is trying to keep people locked in a dictatorship and starving to death.
You know, part of the reason, and I want to get your take on this, my guest is U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, I look at this, I'm saying, okay, why would you deliberately say don't come from Cuba, but the rest of these other countries come on in an open southern border? Is it because the people from Cuba actually have lived under true communism, dictatorships, and they are a threat to their push for socialism and communism in this country, because they would be the whistleblowers? People that come in from Cuba, go down to Little Cuba in Miami, and you listen to what they're saying. They have lived through it, and they will tell you, do not ever do this in America. Is that part of the reason why they're saying don't come?
I don't know what their reasoning is, because this administration doesn't really welcome conversations with Republican senators. But what I can tell you is this. When you talk to people who have come out of Cuba, when you talk to some of these Cuban Americans that are there in Miami or in Tennessee, what they will tell you, it is frightening. They are very fearful of some of this leftist bent that the Democrats have, giving more power to the government, giving more power for taking your freedoms away and giving them to the government. They are very concerned about that, Ben. And what they want to do is see our president come out and say to the president of Cuba, look, you're on notice. We are serving notice to you. If you start firing on these people and beating up these people, all options are on the table.
You and I both know that this administration is not going to protect and defend. They're not doing it in Afghanistan, for example. And let's dive into that for just a moment. In Afghanistan, we saw an elite fighting force there that I think there's a very good chance we probably trained them. That were in a firefight with the Taliban. They ran out of ammunition. They didn't have America's backing anymore because we've pulled out under this arbitrary date of get out of there by the anniversary of September the 11th so that we can say, look how great it is, we're no longer in Afghanistan. They come outside with their taking their bulletproof vests off. They have no guns and they're surrendering, and the Taliban executes them on camera, blows them away. And we've seen nothing but silence from this White House, this administration, not saying a word about it. Why would they not say anything at all?
I'm astounded. And the other part of this is, why are they not stepping forward and helping get the translators and those that have worked with us? We promised them that we would get them out of Afghanistan. And I asked Ambassador Crocker last week in a hearing how many people in total, when you look at the translators and the families, it is 70,000 people that we need to airlift out of there, or the Taliban is going to kill every single one of them. And we are working on this every single day. We made a promise. We need to fulfill that promise. And it is extremely upsetting to me. And I know for a lot of our military retirees and veterans who they feel like that having these interpreters in Iraq and Afghanistan helped save their lives. They are incredibly worried about this.
And it's a, and to break it down even more, it's a kill list. Anyone that worked with the government of the United States of America, once the Taliban has that list and you're on that list, it's a kill list. There's no in between here. It's a kill list. You help the Americans. We're the Taliban. We find you after you help the Americans. You die.
That's right. You are exactly right. And that is why with these special immigrant visas, we have to get these things processed and get those individuals out of there. But I have to tell you, Ben, we are in a fight every single day to defend this country and to defend our freedoms. And we've got a White House and an administration. They are galloping as fast as they can towards socialism, and they're just giddy that they're making progress towards socialism. They're giddy that they're repealing so many components of Donald Trump's agenda. And it is very sad for me that they would choose to have future generations grow up in a socialistic, Marxist-style nation, that they think our children should be taught critical race theory, that they think the determinant of how you look at someone or think of someone should be the color of their skin, not the content of their character, not the person that they are. So they're just going against so much of what are the first principles of this nation. And they are standing silent and allowing these Marxist, socialist, authoritarian regimes to gain power on a global stage.
Lastly, I got about a minute left, Senator, and I want to talk about quickly. You and Senator Cruz have introduced the SHIELD Act to preserve Title 42 expulsions of illegal aliens. Explain what that means quickly.
Right. What this is, Title 42 has been the protection that we have had at the southern border. And this allows our Border Patrol to not let people in if they have a COVID test. Then they can push them back out of the country. And our border communities down in Texas and Arizona, all through there, they're very concerned about it. But since the border is so porous, and since they've apprehended about 1 million people, and now they're pushing them into cities and states all across the country, and every state's a border state, what you have is this impacts every community, because if they're sending a plane load of people to Memphis or to Chattanooga and putting them in shelters or areas in these communities and they all have COVID, then what you're going to see are upticks in COVID. And we have worked very hard to get the economy back open, people back to work, and children back in school. So
it's important.
The Title 42 protections in place.
Senator, I appreciate you coming on the podcast today. And as I said a moment ago, everyone listening right now, you need to call your congressman, you need to call your senator, you need to demand that not only do we stand with the people of Cuba that are trying to flee, but we stand with those in Afghanistan that are being left to die at the hands of the Taliban. And also, please share this podcast on social media. Share the link and let everybody know exactly what's happening right now under this administration. I'll see you back here tomorrow.